That's Edith Piaf, Ça Ira. I play that a lot because it was a song of revolutionary defiance and beautifully done. And basically it means it'll be okay. Things are going to work out. A good message. We're joined, I believe, by Brendan Stone, Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War. And Brendan, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks very much, Bill.
Brendan, you got in Hamilton. There's been some interesting developments growing out of this campaign. The election coming up. I understand that in a couple of writings, there's been nominees that we need to know about. Tell us about what these candidates, particularly Sarah Jama.
Well, I mean, it's been an interesting week here in Hamilton alone. I know that the electoral situation overall in the province of Ontario might not be ideal in terms of all what's available, but in Hamilton, actually, things are very dynamic, very energetic, and actually inspiring. We have, for example, Sarah Jama running, and I think that the listeners of the Taylor Report probably don't need a lot of introduction to who Sarah Jama is, an outspoken activist, pro-Palestine member of parliament who was in Merritt Stiles' NDP until, of course, she was removed from the party and then censured by Ford. And Sarah Jama has fought tirelessly and very vigorously to maintain her positions, the positions that she believes in with regard to Palestine, with regard to social justice, with regard to anti-racism, with regard to police violence. And she has a strong support base around her in Hamilton Center, and that's from a lot of the Hamilton Center NDP provincially, as well as just activists in Hamilton Center who have been engaged with the kind of struggle Sarah Jama has been leading for 10 years or more. And so, of course, with Sarah Jama not being allowed back into the NDP, this has not deterred her from pursuing the values of her constituency. So she is running as an independent in Hamilton Center, and the highlight of the past week in that regard was her campaign launch yesterday on Sunday. I happened to just be at my computer, and I received a notification from Instagram that she was live broadcasting from her campaign launch. So although I was not physically present, I was able to watch a lot of the launch, and it was spectacular because there were many prominent social justice, NDP, Labour, and other activists from Hamilton and from considerably beyond Hamilton that were there to show support for Sarah Jama. I won't go into too much detail on what was said because a lot of specific things were said, but the general environment was that Sarah Jama clearly has a lot of support from Labour, from people within the NDP, from activists in the whole South Ontario and Ontario itself, because many people are dissatisfied with how the NDP has been handling Sarah Jama, has been handling the issue of Palestine, and so forth. So we had yesterday Fred Hahn appearing at this campaign launch. I know you've been following Fred's work on Palestine.
Oh, he's a man of tremendous integrity, and also he really doesn't. He's a Labour leader who actually inspires people to get out and do things. So Fred Hahn spoke, and I understand someone from who associated with the OFL spoke.
Well, this is very interesting to me. I was not aware of this person before, but I believe his name is Ahmad Gayed. He's the secretary treasurer of the OFL. Just to give a little bit of context, there are a few people that spoke before him, Fred Hahn, Matthew Green, MP here in Hamilton, Narinder Nen, and Cameron Craich, who are city councillors. Then Ahmad spoke, and he, as I said, he's the secretary treasurer of the Ontario Federation of Labour. We know that some very progressive stands have been taken by the OFL recently. Mm-hmm. I was interested because Ahmad was very crisp and clear in his delivery. He had a number of things to say about the U.S. trade war against Canada and Ontario. He was very rankled by the actions of the United States government and had some, you know, he definitely was putting forward the idea that there has to be a program to address this, but he also spoke directly in favor of activism for Palestine. He said he strongly supports Palestine and that he's glad to see figures like Sarah Jama representing these views in Parliament, in the political system. We know that, you know, it's not just one or two people in the OFL that support Palestine and support progressive positions on that issue, but there is a block of people in there that are willing to take stands and support progressive members of Parliament.
Yeah, that's really remarkable. So Matthew Green, I know that Matthew Green fought very hard to try to solve the issue of the NDP's decision to separate itself from Sarah Jama. Really shows a lot of integrity on his part. Well, do you know what his points were, or can you characterize some of these views of the people who spoke?
Yes. I mean, the whole meeting is kind of a blur to me as I was watching it remotely. However, the impression I got from Matthew Green was that Sarah Jama is a fighter. He was saying that Sarah Jama has fought for the community. She comes out and takes difficult stands that will risk her own political career, but she goes out and fights for her people, and therefore, you know, we need to fight for Sarah Jama. So, you know, she fights for us. We need to fight to keep Jama in there. Of course, you know, Sarah Jama, along with some others, emerged in the previous decade in particular as social justice activists and pro-Palestine activists in the city of Hamilton, especially in the downtown and the center region. There's a grouping that emerged. And so Matthew Green has demonstrated considerable solidarity with Sarah Jama and has fought for her position with regard to her issues with the NDP, for example.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you look at it more broadly, you see that there's different sectors of progressive coalescence on this issue. So you do have support for Jama among MPs, MPPs in the NDP, but you also have progressive city councillors that emerged in the same environment, Narinder Nand, Cameron Craich, you know, Anthony
By the way, yeah, who was the council person who spoke?
Well, I believe that two city councillors spoke at this.
How many?
I believe two spoke.
That's terrific.
If my memory is correct, we had Narinder Nand, a city councillor. She's a progressive city councillor that she works with Matthew Green and Sarah Jama. And there's also Cameron Craich, who is another city councillor who you will see out there campaigning for Sarah Jama, Matthew Green, Kodjo Dampte, and others. So, you know, there's multi-levels of activism. The city of Hamilton, it's not clearly delineated between federal, provincial, and municipal on an issue like Palestine or racism. There are people that have emerged not just in the all levels of government, federal, provincial, and municipal, but various, you know, education trustees as well. And then you have labor in addition. Anthony Marco, the president of the Hamilton and District Labor Council, spoke passionately as well for Sarah Jama.
President of the Hamilton District Labor Council.
Yeah.
Spoke in favor of Sarah Jama.
Yes, Anthony Marco has been very steadfast and reliable in supporting these progressive councillors and members of Parliament. I believe they've made some statements. The HDLC has released some statements in this regard, especially who to vote for in the election. The HDLC has endorsed a slate of progressive candidates in the Hamilton region, including Sarah Jama and Kodjo Dampte. Anthony had a lot of things to say from a class-based approach. For example, Anthony Marco was also addressing Trump's trade war, and he said, "We can't just use the word tariffs. We have to address this from the people most affected by this, which are Canadian and American workers. In the case of tariffs, of course, there are things going back and forth between governments and corporations and so forth, but we need to look at how we're going to be affected and what we're going to do to address this. What are unions going to do? What are workers going to do to come up with their own collective solutions to this problem that's being caused at the highest levels of government?" So he was bringing a class perspective into that issue, as well as linking it with others. But yeah, the HDLC has a slate of progressive candidates. Most of them have known records for supporting Palestine.
You know, that's really a remarkable meeting. By the way, it was you say you were able to follow it on. I'm sorry, I forget. What was it you were able to that she was using so that people could see her online? What was
it? Right. I mean, that's an interesting question. She was using Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what had happened was I simply received, because I am subscribed to Sarah Jama on Instagram, which, by the way, anyone can do that. You can go to Instagram and just look up Sarah Jama, S-A-R-A-H-J-A-M-A _, and that is her official account. And she has actually posted a video from this meeting recently. So I believe you may be able to watch at least several of the speakers from this campaign launch at the Hamilton Center. And so if you are on Instagram, you can sometimes receive live video feeds from anyone who is willing to do that from their Instagram account.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable. And there was a good turnout in the room with her, right? And I've seen photographs. It was the building was full. And there was an individual there that we haven't mentioned who's a cultural hero across Canada, Rabbi Mivesser. Did he speak?
I don't recall if Mivesser spoke directly at that event. It was a busy day for him. I think that was his birthday party as well yesterday. But Mivesser has been extremely busy and extremely active in supporting both Sarah Jama and Kodjo Dampte, who is the NDP candidate on the Hamilton Mountain, who is also supportive of Palestine.
He's handled that very nicely. Rabbi Mivesser doesn't engage in acrimony or name-calling. He says, I'm for the people who stand in solidarity with the Palestinians and with the working people of Canada and on all the issues. And he says he handles it very adroitly. I hope people follow Rabbi Mivesser as well. So many great voices. Now, what about the Kodjo nomination? Who is he and what happened?
Well, that is closer to home for me. My riding is Hamilton Mountain. So this is something that would be easier for me to be connected to. Kodjo Dampte is very similar in many regards to Sarah Jama, having emerged around the same time and in the same political context of the heightened activism around police violence, racism. There were issues such as George Floyd in the United States and other many, many campaigns. And so Kodjo was part of the activism starting in particular in the 2010s around racism and police violence. Kodjo has been leading the HCCI, the Center for Civic Inclusion. In fact, he's established quite a profile for himself because he's an educator at McMaster University, an African studies program. He's set up education programs in Africa itself. But, of course, most of his work is concentrated in Hamilton and has been for a number of years. And so he's promoting the same kind or a similar kind of political program as Sarah Jama and Matthew Green.
And he had little difficulty with getting the nomination, right? He had took some support. Tell us about that.
It was certainly an experience. David Mivesser and others in Independent Jewish Voices and the General Palestine grouping in Hamilton have been trying to back pro-Palestinian candidates, and of course Kodjo was their choice for Hamilton Mountain. And so there was a nomination meeting for the NDP on Monday, the previous Monday. And, of course, everything has been hastily arranged because of the speed of the election. But there were three candidates for the NDP nomination meeting on Monday. Kodjo was one of them, and there were a couple, Lucy Morton and Etienne. There, people were able to vote via an online meeting, so it was on Zoom, and credentials were sent to people prior to the meeting or during the meeting. And so the candidates were each able to speak, and their nominator was able to speak preceding them, and then a vote happened. What happened in the vote was Kodjo won the nomination vote on Monday at the initial vote during the meeting, something like 48% compared to around 36-32 for the second candidate. And so it looked like he had a clear victory with a considerable...
And he wasn't the choice of the leaders of the party, was he?
I think he's rather new to that environment. I think that there probably a different candidate would have been preferred by the party establishment, given their relations and going back who's been working with who. So I think probably was perceived as something as of an upset by some of the people involved. But ultimately, we walked away from that meeting or left the meeting believing that Kodjo was the nominee, because that's what we had been told. But the next day, people started receiving emails around 5:30 p.m. or so after the provincial phone lines had closed. And the email said, oh, hey, hi, guys. There were some irregularities. Some mistakes were made during the previous meeting for the nomination in this riding. Therefore, we're actually running that nomination again, starting right now.
So they made him go through the whole process again.
Right. I mean, not the whole process, but simply they had a runoff vote. A couple of votes were declared that they were irregular. Essentially, the email said that the organization contracted by the Ontario NDP to manage that nomination meeting had made a couple of technical mistakes in approving people that did not have the credentials. And so because of this technical mistake by the organization involved in running the nomination meeting, they were going to simply hold a runoff vote since they said Kodjo no longer had 50%. So the vote occurred a second time, and what had happened was it was between Kodjo and the next candidate, Lucy Morton. They removed the third place candidate as the process in this runoff election. And so actually the other two candidates sort of were pooling their vote because the third place candidate was suggesting voting for the
second. And how'd it turn out?
Well, how it turned out was Kodjo simply won again. You know, there was a greater scrutiny on this ballot, but ultimately Kodjo once again took first place. And I think you can thank David Mivis there for that, because you see, once this second election, this runoff process occurred unexpectedly with no notice sent via one email during an election, David Mivis there started worrying because a lot of people would not have noticed this email. And the email was sent to everyone who had voted the day previously in the nomination meeting.
Yeah.
And so ultimately what ended up happening was that David Mivis there and others ended up telephoning everyone they knew who had voted in the previous day's election, who was eligible to vote once again, and explaining the situation to them. And that involved an entire evening and night of telephoning people, and they even went knocking on doors to some people and looking and try to physically contact some people they hadn't seen in over a month to see if they could vote. So a lot was hustled in a very short period of time to ensure that Kodjo's supporters once again came out to vote for him, which indeed did occur, and thus securing once again the nomination for Kodjo.
That's terrific. The irrepressible Rabbi Mivisair, a very talented individual. So Kodjo is going to be a candidate, and of course Sarah Jama has big backing in her riding. Congratulations. Thank you very, very much, Brendan Stone.
Yes, keep an eye on these candidates and the support within the NDP and Labour to have progressive views that actually represent the grassroots.
Thank you. Okay, no. Bye-bye. That's Brendan Stone, Hamilton Coalition Stop the War, and Daryl, of course, was an active participant in that NDP nomination process, which in Hamilton turned out to be sort of a democratic. The people seem to be speaking. You know, Hamilton is a nation unto itself. They don't really just bend over because Toronto tells them to.